We're on our next hot topic and where we apply biblical perspective for political issues. And today it was interesting. I didn't want to throw a baseball at it, but rather it was a softball throw to the message today. And our lesson was speak truth. What is truth? And how do we speak truth when truth seems to be something that we each individual makes up anymore? And so today we're going to speak some truth, if you will, and we're going to apply some biblical perspective to today's political issues as we approach the upcoming election. This morning, our world is in the middle of an identity crisis. I think we can all agree identity is a big thing, and we don't know. We have culture telling us we can be whoever or whatever we choose, but what if our true identity, this is the question we're going to pose, what if our true identity isn't something that we create? It's not an idea that we have. We don't create it, but it's something that God has already designed for us. What if God has already designed us exactly how we're supposed to be? Today we'll explore how God's Word speaks to that confusion and it reveals the beauty of His perfect design for our lives and our identity. As we continue on in our hot topic series this morning, we're going to talk about identity. And as you know, gender identity is a very hot topic in our culture today because we are very much engaged in conversations about gender fluidity, non-binary identities, and the concept of separating what we know from the science books that we studied years ago, that biological sex and gender are one and the same. But in today's world, we find the world trying to deconstruct what God has perfectly put together and created by saying they are two very separate things. And because of that, we have an identity crisis in our world today. And it goes deeper than that, and we will get to that. But I want to submit to you today that gender is part of God's creation. Our bodies are part of how we glorify Him. So they are God's creation, and He created us to bring glory to His name. And my prayer for today is simply this, that at the end of service, we leave with an understanding of our identity, both gender, but also our spiritual identity. Our identity in Christ Jesus. Why? Because it is crucial in today's world to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bible with you, and I certainly hope you do, I know young Matthew Stoddard, he was so proud of himself bringing his Bible into church this morning. That's one of the things that we do on Wednesday nights is we challenge the kids. You get points for being present, you get points for bringing your Bible, and you get points for your memory verse. We weren't able to have kids 2 weeks ago because I was doing continuing education on how to drive a bus. And with that, we didn't have kids. So the kids lost out on a week's opportunity worth of points and memory verse. But it's also a longer verse this week. And Matthew, I already told this story in Sunday school, but not everybody was there. So sit tight and listen if you've already heard it. Matthew came in this morning and said, "Mike, look what I have," holding his Bible. So proud that he brought his Bible. Next thing out of his mouth was, "You know, I'm going to get those 25 points. And he said, "I know my verse. If I do it right now, you're going to give me the 25 points right now." I was like, "Buddy, I love your negotiation skills, but that doesn't come until Wednesday night." And I said, "You can go ahead and still do your memory verse, though." And when I tell you that young man, Jolie, you've done a great job. He was beaming, smiling, ear to ear, as he recited that verse from start to end with the book, the chapter, and the verse without hesitation. That young man had it memorized this morning. And I'm saying all of that to say this. He was excited to be in church with his Bible this morning. So I hope that you're excited. If you brought your Bible to church this morning, open it with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And if not, it'll be on my overhead or you can share with the neighbor. But also, I'd like you to mark our secondary verse this morning. And our secondary verse is a repeat of last week. Last week, we were in Psalms chapter 139, doing several verses. This week, we're going to focus on Psalms 139, verse 14. So you want to pin two different places, Genesis 1:27, Psalms 139, 14. And I would just like to say today, before we get into the scripture reading, wherever you find yourself, okay, whether you're wrestling with questions of identity, and those can be spiritual identity or gender identity, or you're seeking answers for someone you love, here's what you need to know. God sees you, God sees them, and guess what? He loves you both deeply. He loves you, and His grace is available for every heart. Let's go a little bit further. And His grace is available for every question. Let's get to our scripture this morning. Genesis 1, verse 27. It says this, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." Pretty clear, right? Pretty clear. This passage is fundamental for us today to understand that God had a deliberate design for humanity. He intentionally created each and every one of us this morning as male or female. There was no mistake when He created us. And it emphasizes to us that God created people reflecting His image and their distinctiveness. He created us with a purpose and with an intention from the very start, not to be confused and distorted into something it never was supposed to be. So from a biblical perspective, gender is not fluid, but it's of God's creative design. God created each and every one of us. And the phrase, "in His image," in this scripture, it implies that both genders, while being very unique in their roles, they equally reflect God's nature and purpose. Therefore, accepting one's biological sex is considered embracing God's creative intent. That's a heavy word, isn't it? That's contrary to what we hear in today's society. Let's take it a step further. Turn now to Psalms 139, verse 14. I'll give you a second for those of you who are turning to it. Psalms 139, 14, it says this, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." See, the Psalms emphasizes that God intentionally created each person, including our biological sex. This verse affirms that we are wonderfully made by God. You are not accidentally made by God, but you are wonderfully made by God, which reinforces that our bodies, including our gender, are part of His intentional design. Now, this certainly challenges the notion in today's world. In the last couple of years, this has become a big issue in our society. This challenges the notion of gender being subject to personal preference or change. The scripture also serves as a reminder that we should encourage people to find peace and purpose in God's design for their identity. He did not create an accident. He created you as you are to be. So as Christians, male or female, we know that God created us in His image. We know that He created us with a purpose and a specific design. Now, you might sit here and say, this is all good. We're on the same page with you. We don't understand how this is an issue for us in the church today. Well, here's the question that we have to ask. And I think if we take a look from not a 10-foot view, but a 30,000 view to get an idea of why we are dealing with this in this moment in our country, why is this an issue where we see this force trying to separate the relationship between gender and sex? You ready for the answer? Because the nation does not know God or understand His design for each one of us. The nation as a whole does not know God or understand His design for each one of us. Now, I would also submit to you this morning that even us as Christians, and I think if we're all going to be honest, if we're all going to tell ourselves the truth, I don't want hands raised this morning, but we have all asked the question of who am I? We have all had an identity issue. Now, spiritually, I'm not suggesting we are confused about our gender, but we have all had an identity issue when it comes to our spirituality and understanding whose we are in Christ Jesus. I will submit to you today that first and foremost, we must come to the understanding that our identity is in Christ Jesus alone. Our identity is not based off of what culture says or how you're feeling, but it is based off of Christ Jesus alone. People are lost. Can we agree that people are lost? People are lost. They are trying to find answers. I mentioned it this morning in Sunday school. Some people spend their life chasing happiness. They end up getting married 15 times to never find happiness. Why? Because they are looking for happiness in the wrong thing. If we look to Jesus, we find fulfillment, we find happiness in a way that all this other stuff in the world could not even hold a candle to of importance. So people are lost. They're trying to find answers. They're trying to find hope. They're trying to gain understanding. And listen, this world supplies a lot of it. They can find all of this out in the wild of the world, if you will. They're looking for it. They're finding it. But they're finding it temporarily. They are finding that hope, that understanding, that fulfillment only temporarily. They're finding it in the wrong places, and they're putting it in the wrong things. And that brings me to the point that it's Satan who often causes these issues. He likes to use identity issues, including spiritual and gender, as a way to distort truth and a way to keep people from understanding their true worth and purpose in God. If we are fearfully, wonderfully made, if we are made in the image of God, we are made with an intention and a purpose that holds nothing, like nothing can come against it and deny. But Satan, like he does, he likes to come in and he likes to distort that truth because he wants to keep people away from the Lord Jesus. So here are some of his tactics. You ready? We're going to start calling out his battle plan, because if we can recognize his battle plan, what can we do? We can go and we can fight it, we can attack it, and we can resist it. So here's some of the tactics that Satan uses. He thrives on sowing confusion about who we are and what we were created to be. He likes to sow confusion. Just as he questioned God's truth in the Garden of Eden, he does the same thing today by making people doubt God's design for their life. He also twists what is good, and he distorts God's created order. What this does is it causes people to believe that their feelings or culture's voice, the world's voice, are the ultimate authority on identity. And by him encouraging the belief that personal autonomy or desires define identity, what Satan is doing is he is leading people away from God's design. He is entrapping them. And the intention is that I will forever have a stranglehold on this person where they will not come to freedom in Christ Jesus because I have fed them this lie and they have believed it. See, when people struggle with their either spiritual or gender identity, they feel shame. They feel rejection. They might feel an unworthiness. I remember standing up here as a young man, 2008, 2009, 2010, and I thought I was unworthy. I thought that I had to work for the good things of God to receive His blessings. I had to be better than I was. What is the truth of the gospel message? Jesus. Period. You mean it has nothing to do with me? You're right. It has nothing to do with you, and it has everything to do with Christ Jesus. Period. period. When he can do this, he can get you to start struggling and often believing that you are too far from God's love, that you are too unworthy for God's love. And then Satan likes to amplify these feelings, convincing us that they can't be loved or accepted by God or the church. Don't go into church. You can't be loved. You can't be accepted because of your internal struggles. Listen, if you didn't come here this morning with the eternal struggles of sin, addiction, whatever it is, if everyone skipped church because of something, guess what? This church is empty. But I would submit that we all have an understanding that it is Christ Jesus that frees us, renews us, redeems us, and therefore we come in to the church every Sunday to worship Him. And then, finally, Satan wants people to focus on self-identification rather than finding their true identity in Christ. So, who are you as a Christian? Who are you as a person? When identity becomes centered on personal desires, what I want in life, where I want to go, it's off of my feelings. Maybe I felt like I was supposed to be a missionary to this country, but now I heard that it's overrun and people are dying and missing, and I don't want to go there, so now I want to go to, I don't know, United States needs missionaries. We're one of the most unreached groups in the world now. Did you know that? So if we base it off of our desires or our feelings rather than God's truth, we can miss out on the fullness of life in Christ Jesus. We can miss out on what God has for our lives if we base it, our decisions, off of our desires and feelings. So when Satan successfully implements these and he does these things, he keeps people away from God. Now, how does him implementing this keep people away from God? It's really a twofold answer. I'm gonna hit those here quick. The first is it causes people to put their focus on temporary things and ignoring what lasts forever. That means we place a higher priority on the here and now and the temporary versus on the eternal things that last forever. Satan keeps people focused on how they feel or how others see them in this world, as other Christians might see them. Or, I can't let on to this struggle in my life because I won't be accepted by this person. And that's gender and spiritual. We try to hide and we try to focus on the here and now, which takes us away from the eternal truth of the gospel. Trying to define ourselves often leads to feeling even more dissatisfied. It leads us to just being upset because it's the constant. I'm not good enough. I'm looking at who I am. But now the world is also telling everybody, you are good enough. Being good is enough. And I'm here to tell you that being good has nothing to do with getting in the gospel or into heaven. It is by Jesus only that we get to heaven. If you ask, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, if you ask somebody, when you die and you get to heaven and you're standing before God and He says, why should I let you in? What is your answer? And if the person's answer is anything other than Jesus, then they are focused on works and they are not focused on the grace. And it's your job to point them back to grace. So there's freedom in their life. Because it is our identity through Jesus that brings lasting peace and fulfillment. We gain that understanding. And then Satan uses, he likes to break the relationship with God. Because if he can get people to reject or rebel against God's design, His intention for their life, guess what? They move further away from a relationship with Him. And Satan uses this separation to build up even more barriers and completely, utterly making them feel unworthy or unwilling to turn back to God because they feel like there's no route to return to. So leave them lost and abandoned. So church, instead of falling for the tactics of Satan, instead of letting our loved ones fall for the tactics of Satan or our co-workers, whatever it is, let's look at what the Bible says our identity is. As believers, and did you know, and I've already said this, but it's in my notes, so I've got to read it. Did you know that it has nothing to do with who you are, it has nothing to do with your performance, but entirely on who Christ Jesus is? So, you should have gotten a handout. If you did not get a handout, they're back on the soundboard, but Tim, I believe, tried to get one in everybody's hand this morning. You should keep this. You should put this on your refrigerator. You can tear it up and put some in your car, some in your underwear drawer, some by on your mirror while you're brushing. I don't care what you do with it. This is Scripture. This is truth. And we have to have a full, robust understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. Because I will submit that there are Christians today, not necessarily just in here, but in the church, Big C Church, that do not understand who they are in Christ Jesus. And because they do not understand who they are in Christ Jesus, they lack the power to carry forth the gospel and the fullness of Christ living in and through them. So, here's our list. I provided you the Scripture. It is your job to go read the Scripture, okay? Did this by design, so you'd have to go open your Bibles this morning. And so the first one, I'm starting to lose my voice. The first one is, you are a child of God. When you come to faith in Christ, you are adopted into God's family. You are no longer defined by your past or by the world's standards, but by your status as a beloved child of God. That comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Here's what you need to understand. You are loved, you are accepted, and you belong to God's family with all the privileges and responsibilities of a child of God. Here's your second one. You are redeemed and forgiven. You are redeemed and forgiven. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, guess what? Your sins are forgiven. You are redeemed. Now, listen, you've got to ask Jesus to be in your life to receive that redemption. Just because he died on the cross doesn't mean everybody for all eternity is covered if they never accept Jesus. It's about a relationship with Jesus. It's about accepting and knowing that we need him, that we are not enough, that he is enough. Can I get an amen that we have understanding on that this morning? It is through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that your sins are forgiven. You are redeemed from the power of sin. You are no longer, listen, this is freeing right here. You are no longer defined by guilt or shame, but by the grace and mercy of God. Your life is now defined by the grace and mercy of God. And guess what? You are now a child of God because of His grace and mercy. Your definition of life is Christ Jesus. That comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And here's the truth that this holds for us. Your past mistakes no longer hold power over you. Who has a past? Everybody does, right? Everybody has a past. Your past mistakes no longer hold power over you. You are forgiven. You are set free. And listen, you are able to live a new life in Christ Jesus. Do we have a pulse in here this morning? This is the basics of the gospel of Christ Jesus. We are all forgiven. Can we not be excited about the grace of God over our lives this morning? Here's the third one. You are a new creation. In Christ, you are made new. Your old identity, shaped by sin and worldly desires, is replaced by a new identity that reflects God's transformation power working in your life. That comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. And here's the truth that that holds. As your life has been transformed by Christ, you have a new nature, you have new desires, and you have a new purpose that reflects the work of God in you. After you became a Christian, did you have anybody say to you, what is different about you? That is because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are not who you were, but you are who God created you to be. The fourth one is you are righteous and holy. This is part of our identity in Christ. Because of Christ's righteousness, you are declared righteous before God. You are set apart, which means holy for God's purposes. Not because of your own merit, but because of what Jesus has done for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So what this means is we are no longer condemned by our sins. We are no longer condemned. There is no judgment coming for those sins. Instead, we stand righteous before God. Again, not by our works, but because of Christ's righteousness that covers and atones for us. We stand before God as righteous and holy. Here's a truth that I believe everybody needs to hear, and everybody needs to let the Holy Spirit really put this into their heart and work this out to be our understanding of who we are in Christ. You are God's masterpiece created for good works. Amen. You are God's masterpiece created for good works. I would submit to you that masterpiece, if we look at art and history and all the things, we think of who painted Jesus in the... Michelangelo? Who did the painting of Jesus in the... Who? I was right? Awesome. Okay, that's considered a masterpiece, isn't it? And it's people travel all over. I think they can still see it, can't they? It's still, I believe. Listen, is what I'm trying to say. Masterpieces are not created by mistake. Masterpieces have intention and design intended for them. So God has designed you with a purpose and an intention. You are His masterpiece. If we are His masterpiece, who are we calling into question if He made a mistake in His masterpiece? We are created to do good works that He has planned for you. Your identity includes living out your purpose and the calling that God has placed on your life. This comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. What does this mean? This means that our life has meaning and purpose beyond what the world offers. The world offers a lot of stuff, but God has a purpose and a meaning beyond that, because God has prepared for each and every one of us a unique path of good works for you to walk in. We all work in different places, don't we? You've heard me talk about our sphere of influence before. You remember when I brought tape on stage and put it in four quadrants and put the balls on the stage and we talked about our sphere of influence? We all have a unique path to walk in and to share and speak truth in. That is our plan that God has given us. Here's another one. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. As a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, guiding you, empowering you, sanctifying you. Your body is a temple where the Spirit lives. And this identity calls you to live in a way that honors God. And that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What this means is God's presence lives within you. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you. He lives within you. You are empowered to live a life that reflects Christ, and you are set apart for God's work. Did you know that once we step into relationship with Jesus, it's not time to sit down, cross our legs, and twiddle our thumbs? I'm just going to wait for everybody else to do the work, Terry. I know Jesus. I'm just going to sit here now. Is that what we're called to do? No, we're called to go forth and we are called to live in a way that honors God, that brings attention to God, so others can receive the same freedom that we have received. So what this means is God's presence lives within you, the Holy Spirit. You are empowered to live a life that reflects Christ, and you are set apart for God's work. We are set apart for God's work, and let me just tell you, God's got to work for you. Maybe you don't know the grand scheme of what He has for your life. Do we need to know that? Do we need to have the full picture? If we did, how did Abraham get to be in the Bible? He left on just the word of travel that direction. I'll tell you when you get there. What does that require of us? Faith. The first step of faith. Look back a couple weeks ago when we had our missionaries here. It was about the yes. The yes. Saying yes to what He has put in front of you. So you are set apart for God's work. And for us to carry out God's work, we have to say yes. I got a few more for you. Hang tight with me here. You can see how far we are. If you're looking at your papers, you know we're about done here. Here's another one. You are more than a conqueror. In Christ, you have victory over sin. You have victory over death. And you have victory over any trials that come your way. Here's the truth of this. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. And through Him, you are able to overcome all challenges. This comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Your identity is not one of defeat or fear, but of victory and confidence. It's because we know that Christ has already overcome the world on our behalf. It is through Him. Here's another one. You are a citizen of heaven. Your true home and citizenship are in heaven. This morning we said in Sunday school, in fact it was on the first page in our lesson, was we are in this world, but not of this world. So as Christians, we are living in a foreign land right now, and our forever home, we are citizens of heaven. So your true home and citizenship are in heaven. And while you live in this world, our identity is rooted in the eternal kingdom of God. And the ultimate, and it's our ultimate destiny, is to be with Him forever in eternity. That comes from Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. And did you know that our identity transcends earthly status and affiliations? Your life is shaped by the values of God's kingdom, and your hope is in the eternal inheritance you have in Christ. You are a citizen of heaven. Here's another identity, that part of our identity that we have in Christ. You are a part of the body of Christ. As a believer, you are part of the global, not just the New Sharon body, but Big C Church, the global. As a believer, you are part of the global and eternal body of Christ. You are united with other believers in fulfilling God's mission. You belong to a spiritual family where every member has a unique role. That's 1 Corinthians 12:27. And I want to encourage you this morning that you do have a unique role. You do have a unique purpose within the church. Your gifts, your talents, your contributions are vital to the mission of Christ's body on earth. Point back to our team of volunteers. This morning alone, we have people running projector, sound. We had the band. We had our greeters. We had our Sunday school teachers. We have our kids leader running kids this morning. Without all of us stepping up and using our gifts, talents, and contributions, we don't completely fulfill God's mission for our church. But when we all use those, we fulfill His mission for our church and then the Big C Church globally. You ready for the last one? I'm about out of a voice here. I'm sorry. Here's the last one. You are loved, chosen, and called. You are loved, chosen, and called. You are deeply loved by God. In fact, let's just say this. All together, we're going to say, I am deeply loved by God. Are we ready? Count of three. One, two, three. I am deeply loved by God. Do we need to do it again? Let's do it again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I am deeply loved by God. Now, I'm just telling you, if you're out there doubting that this morning, that's Satan trying to tell you, you are not a child of God. You are deeply loved by God. You are chosen by God. And you are called by God. You were chosen before the foundation of the world to be His own. Think about that. You were chosen before the foundation of the world to be His own. You were called to a life that reflects His love and truth. Each one of us are chosen, or we're loved, we're chosen, and we're called. And this comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So what does this mean? I want everybody to look at me. We're going to be awkward. We're going to stare at each other here, okay? You're going to stare at me, but I got to read my notes here. But here's what this means for you. Are you ready? You are not an accident. You are not an afterthought. God has chosen you. He has called you out of darkness. He has called you out of your sin. And He has given you a special place in His family to proclaim His glory. You are not an accident. You are not an afterthought. You are not a mistake. God made you with a purpose and an intentional design to be who you are. Ken, I love you so much, brother. I really do. If we understand our identity, there is power in going forward and sharing the gospel and having people say, what is different about you? It's because we are not clothed with our understanding of who we are, but instead we are clothed with the truth of Scripture. Keep this handout because this is your identity in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that can separate. Now, you can choose to walk away. That's you. I can't take you away from your identity in Christ Jesus. Nothing can get a foothold. Satan cannot come in and steal your identity in Christ. So read this. Put this to memory. Consume it every single day. Chew on it, if you will. Meditate on this. Because our identity in Christ is the most powerful thing we have. Because that is where we get our boldness. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit partners with that. But we have to understand who we are and whose we are. Okay? So if we understand, Stacy, if you want to slowly make your way up, maybe. If we understand our identity in Christ. I've gone so far off my notes today. That's why I said that. If we understand our identity in Christ Jesus, we will know that our identity is secure, that our identity is unchanging, and it is rooted in God's love and purpose. We are not defined by our past. We are not defined by our achievements. We are not defined by the world's opinions. Instead, you ready for this? We are beloved children of God. We are forgiven, we are transformed, and we are empowered to live a life that reflects His glory and His grace. Amen. Understanding and living out this identity, it brings us true freedom, purpose, and joy. So let's get back to the political issue at hand here. There is no identity issues, spiritual or gender, if we know who we are in Christ. If we understand who we are in Christ, none of this is an issue. It is our responsibility. Listen, I hope you have your ears open this morning. It is our responsibility to share the gospel message. It is our responsibility to share hope and to love those who need it. It is also our responsibility to help others understand who they are in Christ Jesus. Everybody. God desires that no one should perish, but all should come to Him. It is our job to share with them what their identity in Christ can be if they would just submit their life to Him. I will submit to you today, the best decision any one of us in here has made has been to submit our life to Christ Jesus. Come on. The best thing, the only thing that matters is submitting ourselves completely to Him and say, God, I am all yours. I am all in. Use me. I may not understand this whole list. I may not understand that I'm a citizen of heaven because I've done a lot of bad things. But if I consume God's Word every day, if I pray, and if I ask God to reveal this truth to me and instill it, guess what? There comes a day when I understand that I am a citizen of heaven, regardless of my past. So guess what, church? We have a freedom. We are in here today to worship God, to sing about this grace that we've experienced, that we did nothing to earn, all because He sought it fit to send Jesus to reconcile us back to Him. If you look back in Noah's time, only Noah was found righteous. No, and of course his family. But what I'm saying here, if you feel like you are all alone and you are the only one righteous in the workplace, guess what? You're right where God wants you. He has a purpose for you. He has a design for you. And it's time that as Christians, we quit holding our tongue, we start speaking truth, and we understand our identity in Christ Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? It is when we help others understand who they are in Christ Jesus that we are engaging our community for Jesus. If you would you bow your heads and close your eyes? This is an opportunity for everybody in here to respond this morning. And maybe you have never asked Jesus for forgiveness. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Him before. If that's you this morning, if you've never done that, you lack identity in Him. You do not have identity in Him without a relationship with Him. So today, you have the opportunity. I hope you're hearing me. Today, you have the opportunity to become a child of God. You have the opportunity to become a new creation in Him. You have the opportunity to be redeemed and forgiven and become a citizen of heaven. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, what does it say? You will be saved. So whether this is in a brand new way or this is in a fresh way, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you have an opportunity this morning to respond to Him, to ask Him into relationship. If that's you this morning, would you please just raise your hand right where you're at? Amen. Today, church, we gain the knowledge. Today, I hope that you are empowered and that you are encouraged and you understand that we need to know our identity in Christ. If we understand whose we are and who we are in Him, there is no identity crisis left. There's none of this. So today we are challenged to walk deeper in our relationship with Christ, to further understand our identity, to submit that, to create that firm foundation in our life. So my question as your pastor today is this. As the worship team leads us in a song, would you be so bold to join me at the altar for the next few moments to seek after Jesus and commit to clothing yourself more and more every day with His identity? Would you be so bold to do that this morning?